How many of you have remember drawing lines on a connect the dots page when you were young? Remember doing that? I remember seeing books of those things, and you'd look at the page, and before you'd even start, you'd try to figure out, what is this, before I even start drawing the lines. Sometimes you could figure it out. They'd give just enough clues you could kind of guess. Other times, you had to go through the process in order to be able to tell what the picture really was. Well, this morning, we're going to connect some dots in terms of where we've been and what we've been focusing on as a church in the last number of weeks in terms of what God has provided us in Christ. And so I just want to kind of let you know that we're gonna kind of begin to make a shift now. We've been focusing pretty heavily on theological principles. There's a couple more that I'm going to finish out with today, but I want to take us to the next place. Pastor Keith has said this. He says, we are a victim of our theology. What you believe is what you will get. Either whether it's truth or it's falsehood, what you cannot live outside of what you truly believe in your heart. And so what we need to do is take that which God has shown us in His Word that we know to be true, that we believe, and we need to turn the corner because we need to be able to literally experience the realities that are in the spiritual realm. They need to be transferred into this realm, into our soul, if you will, our mind, emotion, and will, and even into our physical bodies, into our lives, and into our relationships. It's critical that that happen in order for us to be fully effective as followers of Christ. Amen? And so, as most of you know, sin brought spiritual death into this world. Amen? And, of course, we know spiritual death brought separation. We focused on that some last week, if you want to put that slide up. And what I want to look at just briefly again is some of the effects that we have experienced in the natural as a result of spiritual death. You realize that it came into that part of our lives too, right? I mean, as soon as Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree, things start falling apart instantly. Pain in childbearing. The man would have to work, you know, by the sweat of his brow. You know, they didn't have to do that before that time. Everything in the garden was provided for them. I mean, what an incredible thought that it was just always provided. But now mankind would have to work the soil in order to receive his food, whether that be via animals or that be via fruits and vegetables and that type of thing. So here are some of the effects, briefly, of the pain and suffering that came to mankind. First of all, pain and suffering in their soul. Things such as confusion and deception. Anybody ever been confused about something or deceived? We know the enemy is the author of confusion. He's the deceiver, amen? And he seeks to sow those deceptive lies into our minds, so we can experience that in our soul. We can experience fear and anxiety, hopelessness, things of that nature, feelings of guilt, worthlessness, illegitimacy, like, do I even really matter? We can experience things like grief and sorrow. So those are things that came after the fall in our soul. Our bodies, we can experience sicknesses and diseases, wounds, broken bones, conditions with our internal organs, paralysis, ultimately physical death. Amen? Then we can also experience pain in our and suffering in our lives in such areas as the need for clothes, food, shelter. Again, Adam and Eve had need of none of those things, right? They didn't need a house to live in. The environment was always perfect. They didn't know sin, so they didn't need clothing. That didn't come till after they sinned. They didn't need to work for their food. Just walk up to any tree in the garden, it was there. So those things came to us. We can experience financial difficulties. Anybody ever experienced any of those in your life, right? Things such as property malfunction, equipment malfunction, vehicle malfunction drives us absolutely up a wall sometimes at the most convenient times, right? We can experience job loss or difficulty in finding work. So here's pain and suffering we can experience in our lives. And finally, we can experience pain and suffering in our relationships. Things go haywire and people tend to blame one another. Any notice that? Right? We can experience rejection, abandonment, neglect, betrayal, broken trust, division and destructive criticism. Seen that in relationships? Ultimately, bitterness and unforgiveness. So we see all of these effects in the natural realm, if you will, from the death that occurred spiritually to mankind. And what I want to establish now is a foundational principle. This is the principle I'm going to be working off of for this message. Here it is. Just as sin brought spiritual death to mankind, that brought pain and suffering into our soul, body, our life, and our relationships, faith in Christ and confessing Him as Lord, which brings salvation, right? New birth. Actually, it brings a lot of things. Faith and confessing Him as Lord brings spiritual blessings into a person's spirit that can bring healing, transformation, and provision into one's life. Let me establish that principle. Let me state it again, because there's a comparison, okay? Again, just as sin brought spiritual death, which then brought pain and suffering into our souls, into our bodies, our lives, our relationships, in the same way that that happened by sin, faith in Christ and confessing Him as Lord can bring spirit, or does bring spiritual blessings into a person's spirit. Right? The spirit died, now the spirit's made alive. And when life comes in, so does many spiritual blessings. Okay? And those spiritual blessings become the means to undo what sin and death did. You need to hear that. Okay? So where pain and suffering came, now through Christ and the blessings that we've been given spiritually, we can experience healing, transformation, and provision. Now, I'm going to tell you, they don't, however, come quite as automatic as the pain and the suffering did. There's this little thing that's required in order for us to tap into those spiritual blessings. It's called faith. Amen? Just like it required faith to be able to experience eternal life in Christ, it also requires faith now to tap into the spiritual blessings that come as the result of faith in Christ. Okay? Now, we're going to see this in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Someone say, every spiritual blessing. It didn't say part. When we came into Christ, Ephesians 2, 6 says that we were placed in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And so when we were placed in those heavenly realms, we also received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's continue with verse 4. "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for adoption to sonship." There's a spiritual blessing. "Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He freely He has freely given us in the one he loves. How many think grace is a spiritual blessing? It's really the means of all spiritual blessings, whether you know it or not. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity of all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Are we looking forward to that day or what? Amen? In him, this is now Paul referring to the Jews, because he's using different pronouns here. He's using you and we. When he says you, he's talking about his Gentile writers. When he says we, he's talking about the Jews, okay? He says, in him we were also chosen, meaning the Jewish people, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And now he's switching again. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Let me think, that was a spiritual blessing. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Hear this. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption. How many know that's when Christ comes back in all his glory? Of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, so through faith in Christ, this is the next slide, I believe. Through faith in Christ, in his resurrection, and confessing him as Lord, as followers of Christ, we have received many spiritual blessings. And we're going to look at those in rapid order, because I've already talked about most of them this morning. There's two more that I've touched on, but I really haven't taken you into the Word about. So we're going to try to breeze through the ones we've already looked at. But these are what you have. Listen, the minute you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you confessed him as Lord, these are the things that you received instantly and supernaturally. Okay? Number one, justification. All right? You were justified. Justification is this. It's the supernatural and instant cleansing of a person from sin whereby they are made righteous before God. So they are in right standing with God. That was a spiritual blessing. Amen? No more sin to hold you down when you came to Christ. Secondly, the second spiritual blessing was reconciliation. Reconciliation is the instant and supernatural reuniting of a person back into right relationship with God, because sin no longer separates them from God. So now you were brought back into relationship where you were separated from God before. All right? Thirdly, you received healing. Now, remember, these are spiritual blessings. We're going to go somewhere with them, but for right now, I want you to understand this. Healing is the supernatural and instant restoration of one's spirit from spiritual death. You were restored. That which died was now restored through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's another one. You received healing. By his wounds, his stripes, you have been healed. Have been healed. Have been healed. Did you hear that? You have been healed. Now remember, this is a spiritual blessing. All right. Then we also received salvation. Now, the first three that we talked about were what was provided through Christ's wounds and death. Okay? Now we're going to look at what was provided through his resurrection. First of all, salvation. Salvation is the supernatural and instant rescue of a person from God's righteous judgment of wrath by the regeneration of the person's spirit from death to life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How many know when we entered into sin, we now came under God's wrath? Right? The Bible says that. And so we were rescued. His resurrection rose from the dead, the grave, right? He came out. So by salvation, Christ's resurrection power snatched you out of the clutches of what being under the wrath of God. You're no longer under God's wrath and judgment. The judgment of sin was paid for in Christ, but when he overcame it, he came out of that grave, and those who put their faith in him, he brings along with him. That's called salvation. Anybody glad you're saved? Amen? Hallelujah. All right. And then, this is one that we touched on last week, but I haven't delved into, so I'm going to take this a little deeper. We received adoption. Here's what adoption is. Adoption is the supernatural and instant acceptance of a person into God's family, whereby that person is no longer a slave to sin, but becomes a child of God. So you're not only reconciled to God, he's not only your friend. See, remember before Jesus went to the cross, he said to the disciples, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know his master's business, but a friend does. But when you come into Jesus Christ, you're no longer just a friend of God, you become a child of God. You are in his family. Amen? And you get a new name, you get a new identity as God the King's kid. Come on. That is adoption. All right? If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. I'm just telling you. Okay? Now, Galatians 4:4-7, we see this. But when the time had come, fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, right? To be set free by the paying of a price, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now, that's an important word, sonship, because sonship means that you get some rights. Right? See, a slave doesn't have any rights, but a son does in the family. And what's exciting is that the sonship, being it's through adoption, do you understand that an adopted son gets the same rights by Roman law as a natural born son? Amen? So when you came into Jesus Christ and you were regrafted in, you became a son who has all the same rights and privileges as a natural born child. Okay? So that's why the word adoption, it's because of the rights that you receive in the relationship that you now have. Okay, so it says adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That's what a young boy in the Jewish family would call his dad, Abba. Okay? So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And then Romans 8:14-16, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. This is how we know that this was provided through the resurrection, because without the resurrection, there would have been no ability for the Spirit to come and regenerate you, right? So as a regenerated person, you become an adopted child of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, there it is, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit who you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, we are God's children. Amen. So that is a spiritual blessing we received. Then, the next spiritual blessing we received, and we have also not really talked about this one yet at all, is we received sanctification. Have you noticed you're getting a few theological terms here, right? But if you don't understand theology, this is why we cannot dumb down the church. I'm sorry. If you don't know theology, you don't know how to live in victory. But if you know who you are and what you have, as far as authority and possessions, then you know what you can do with what you possess. Amen? So that's why I'm going through these principles, so that I don't want this church to be ignorant of who you are and what you have. Okay? So, sanctification. Sanctification is this. Sanctification is the supernatural and instant action of being set apart for God's own purpose and plan. Now, we know God's purpose is to glorify him, right? To reflect his character, qualities, and ways. And to fulfill the works that he has prepared for each of us to do. How many know the Bible says that for we are God's workmanship or handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do works he prepared in advance for us to do? So when we came and put our faith in Christ and confessed him as Lord, this is one of the spiritual blessings that we receive. We were set apart. The Bible says you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Amen? So you received sanctification. You are now God's vessel, God's kid, and God's got a plan for your life, and it's to glorify him and do the works that he's already written out for your life. You have been sanctified. Let's see that in 1 Corinthians 1, 2 through 3. To the church of God in Corinth, listen to this, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. See, sanctification is the process. Holiness is what you are or what you seek to do. Okay? So, you are called to be holy people together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. And he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Now what's going to be interesting is you're going to see in the passage we're about to read is that this also is sin related at times. It's really worldly, world related in that we are set apart from the world's system and the world's plans because we've now stepped into God's kingdom and God's plans. Amen? And so as Christians, you've been set apart to live a set-apart life. What do you think that's being set apart from? Sin? The world? The world's systems. Amen? How many know you are aliens and strangers in this world now? Right? Okay, so listen to this passage. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. I'm telling you, there are way too many Christians in the body of Christ today that are deceived. They are believing a lie as truth. They do not understand this doctrine of sanctification, that you have been set apart for God, not for yourself, not for your own pleasures, not for your own pursuits, not for your own agenda. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Listen to this. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, Selah, nor thieves. And that's not a special sin. These are all sins. The problem we have today is that the world is saying, no, that one's your identity. It has nothing to do with being set apart in how you live for God. That's the reason I emphasize this at times, is not because I'm trying to pick on people. It's because we don't hear people saying, well, it's okay to be a drunkard. It's okay to be an adulterer. It's okay to be greedy or a slanderer. We're not hearing that, right? But listen to this. He says, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Inheritance is what we get when Christ returns. So if a person is living with this lifestyle, they're practicing this lifestyle, and Christ returns, this is hard. I'm not saying this is easy, but we cannot continue to let people be deceived, because that isn't doing them any favors. We're not loving them by doing that. Yes, we need to be gentle. Yes, we need to be compassionate in how we communicate. Yes, we do. But we still have to call sin, sin. What God says, we're not our own, folks. We cannot walk in deception here, okay? It says, but listen, and that is what some of you were. That fit some of my categories. How about yours? Right? And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, listen to this, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So you were spiritually set apart. That is a spiritual blessing, folks. Listen, it's good to be set apart from the things of this world and sin that brought death and condemnation and pain and suffering. I want to be set apart from those things. How about you? I don't want to be in death any longer. I want to live in life, in the eternal life that God's given us, okay? So you were sanctified. And the last spiritual provision or blessing that we received is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen? And resurrection power is the supernatural power of Christ that instantly enters every person who is born again and abides within them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You, if you have been born again, have resurrection power inside of you. And as we read last week, that power is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in heavenly places with the Father. Above all authority, all power, all dominion. Amen? That is the power that is on the inside of you as a follower of Christ. All right, now, these are all the spiritual blessings we've received. Now, once you received all these spiritual blessings that came with putting your faith in Christ, and you confessed him as Lord, I want you to hear this now. Is it up there? Yes. Those spiritual blessings now function as God's supernatural provisions that can bring healing and transformation within our souls and bodies, as well as various other provisions we need within our lives and relationships. We have now crossed a bridge. I want you to think about this. Once you have received all these spiritual blessings, see, this is where a lot of people get hung up. When they hear that passage about by his stripes we have been healed, they think that's supposed to mean, and they think the way we interpret it as quote-unquote charismatic Christians, is that that automatically means you are healed in your physical body, or you are automatically healed instantly, just like you were automatically and instantly saved. Well, let me ask you this. When you were saved, did that happen instantly? Yes. When you were saved, did that happen instantly? Yes. Okay. But did you go to heaven instantly? Did you get your resurrection glorified immortal body instantly? That's going to come later, right? And that is the one thing that we can't make happen. That comes with Christ. But now with the other spiritual blessings, I'm going to show you how. And honestly, there are certain ways that we can, there is a way that we can invoke the provision of salvation now. We're going to look at it. We've already looked at it in a previous message, by the way. But we can't force the resurrection body part. Okay? But what I want you to see is, listen, all of these spiritual blessings, let me say it again, now function as God's supernatural provisions. Okay? Jesus Christ, I'm gonna slow this train down because I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead and provided all of these spiritual blessings, correct? So the provision for all of those spiritual blessings was made through his death and resurrection. But you don't get to experience those spiritual blessings unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord, correct? Okay, the same process happens once you receive the spiritual blessings. Once you have received what Christ has offered and you've experienced justification and reconciliation and healing and salvation and adoption and sanctification and the resurrection power of God, once you've got them in you, they now become provisions. They're sitting there. They're waiting for you to tap into them. But they don't automatically produce something in the natural realm, in our souls, bodies, lives, and relationships, without the same process that we went through with salvation. Okay? You had to receive salvation, receive the spiritual blessings, through faith in Christ and confessing him as Lord. Now you also have to receive what's been provided through the spiritual blessings the same way. It requires faith. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but it requires faith, confession, action, some other things in order to experience it. And this is what many Christians have not been taught. I was not taught this stuff. We get it in terms of overcoming sin. Where we fall short is oftentimes when it comes to especially physical healing. We'll accept soulish healing, but that physical healing thing, and so now I'm not going to weigh in on that today. It's coming. It's coming. Okay? I just want you to get the concept because I want you to understand this. Physical healing, I'm sorry, is not some of the processes we're going to have to press into. But what I want you to understand is that physical healing has been provided for just like overcoming sin has been provided for. It just depends on which spiritual blessing you're tapping into in order to get it. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so now I'm going to show you with a little bit of time. We may not get through this all today. I'm going to probably have to continue this message in another time. But I want to begin to show you how this works. What you have in your spirit as several spiritual blessings, I want to start looking at how each spiritual blessing provides you with something for your soul or your body or your life or relationships. Do you realize you have received every spiritual blessing in Christ? Listen, folks, this is what you need to walk away with this morning. There is no part of your life that God left untouched for you to experience victory in. Even physically, God didn't say, I'm going to leave that one out. He didn't. God doesn't do half the job. He gave you every spiritual blessing in Christ. Okay? Now, we're going to begin to work through now what is provided for our soul and body through the spiritual blessings. But what is provided, you're going to have to also tap into by faith. And I'm not going to go through how that whole process. That's not this message. I'm just telling you the what, the how to's and why's are going to have to come later. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, how many knows you're not even going to know where to begin to go on the how to's and what we do with this thing, right? I'm just trying to give you the what's, the principles, so that you know there is something you can pursue in this realm that is provided for in the spiritual realm through these spiritual blessings in Christ, okay? All right, so what we're going to look at the rest of this time are what the spiritual blessings provide us with in our souls, bodies, lives, and relationships, all right? Now, let's start over. Now, we went around the mountain once. Now we're going to start going around a second time. But this is a good travel. You'll like this. Because in this mountaintop, there's something that progresses and you get something more the next time you go around. So we're not doing this aimlessly. Amen? Okay. Justification. All right? What does justification provide you in your soul and your body? It provides you with this: forgiveness and cleansing from sin, right? Justification is the supernatural and instant cleansing of sin by which you're made righteous with God. That happens in your spirit as a spiritual blessing, correct? Now, because you have that spiritual blessing inside of you, it now provides you with the ability to be able to be forgiven and cleansed in your soul and your spirit. Now, we're going to walk through the word on this. I'm not expecting you to just take pastor's word for it, okay? Let's look at 1 John 5, or 1:5, through chapter 2, verse 2. John's writing here, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Amen? Now, if we claim to have fellowship with him, I know fellowship is relationship. All right? Now, I'm gonna, again, if I got to take this message and close it off early, that's what we're going to do today. But I'm not going to go too fast on you. When we talk about fellowship, I want you to think about this in terms of your marriage. You can be married to your wife, so you have a relationship. Amen? But has there ever been those days where in your relationship, your fellowship has not been so great? Right? Not so cool. Okay? Well, this can happen with God too. We can have a relationship and be his child. But how many know if we think wicked thoughts, say wicked things, and we don't take those thoughts captive, we don't keep our mouth shut, or we do wicked things, how many know you don't automatically stop being a child of God at that point, but it breaks fellowship with your Father? Okay? So we already know this passage is not talking about what goes on in the spirit. It's what goes on in the soul and the body. Does that make sense? Okay, so if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Doesn't that make sense now? We're not living it out. Well, you live it out through your soul and your body on this planet, correct? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So we're talking about that which is in the soul and body. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that doesn't mean we I'm constantly in sin in my soul and body. But let's be honest, that is where we struggle with sin, amen, in our flesh. So he's just saying here, listen, you don't have to sin every day. But let me just tell you, there's a deceiver and a tempter the author of confusion that is trying to work you over and pull you in to give in to your fleshly desires. Anybody notice that lately? Right? Okay. So this is what he's talking about. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in it. But listen to the next verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, do you notice any steps in that process that were also a part of what you had to do in order to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and receive all the spiritual blessings, specifically this one called justification, being cleansed of sin? Did you notice that you had to do what Romans 10:9 says, that if you believe in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved? That was in your spirit. But now this is talking about your soul and body. So when you sin, even as a Christian, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, right? That's called not repenting. We make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Again, the word comes to the mind, emotions, will. It's like we look at our face in the mirror, the word of God, and we go, I'm not going to do what it says. And we walk away, and what does James say? We forget what we look like. Correct? So, if we claim when we sin that we haven't sinned, how much of that is going on in the church today? Then how many people are walking around in broken fellowship with the Father? And we wonder why the church can't be victorious and overcome in this world. Because we're not admitting when we've sinned. We're not confessing it. I'm not saying that's a blanket statement. You understand that, right? But when we refuse to confess when we've done something wrong, and I'm going to tell you, there's sloppy grace doctrine out there right now that says grace, grace, grace. Grace just covers everything. I don't need to confess sin. I'm already forgiven. They don't understand the difference between the spirit dimension and the soul-body dimension. And so they're going in what is called an identificational theology. Well, yes, you're forgiven there and by grace. But in the soul-body realm, this is a fellowship issue, not an identity relationship issue. I mean, it affects your relationship as far as fellowship, but not positionally. Okay? So, my dear children, starting with the second chapter, I write this to you, hear this phrase, so that you will not sin. So if he's saying that, doesn't that mean you don't have to sin in your soul and your body? Didn't we talk about that in an earlier message? You have the power, the ability. You have been pulled out of sin. You now have the ability to not walk back into it again, like a mud pit. When you've been pulled out of the pit, you can stay out of the pit. But if you're in the pit, I don't care. You know what you do, you can't get out of sin. You got to get out of the pit first. But once you've gotten out, you can stay out. So therefore, this is what he's saying. I am writing this to you. You have been justified. You have been set free from sin. So you, in your soul and your body, don't have to sin. But listen to what he says. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen? So, you, through the spiritual blessing of justification, have been provided with the means to do two things. One, first of all, is the best option. You don't have to sin. But if you do, option number two. Now, before I go too far, I can already see where some Christians will go, well, hey, as long as I can be forgiven, I can sin, and I can just turn around and ask the Father to forgive me. I'm going to tell you something. This saying holds true. I've already said it a couple times. I'm going to say it again. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. Don't ever think that you, as a child of God, can break fellowship with the Father and think that there are no consequences. Especially if you're doing it deliberately and you know it and you're willfully doing it. Because you will stand. We're not going to get to this, but I'm going to wrap this up this morning. We've only got to what one spiritual blessing is provided. I got about 5-6 more. But this is as far as we're going to take it today. Okay? But listen, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for how we lived and served and did the works that God called us to do, how we lived a sanctified life set apart. We will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for that, and our eternal reward will be based upon that. Now, I'm going to tell you, if things in this world are important to you in terms of enjoying the blessings of this world, how much more do you think is important the eternal rewards and blessings that we will receive, that we inherit in the eternal realm? Amen? So listen, if we walk around deliberately and willfully sinning, breaking fellowship with the Father, we may think we're getting away with it in the here and now. There will be an accounting when we stand before Him. Don't ever kid yourself. Any Christian that thinks they're getting away with something, sin has a season of pleasure, but it will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and eternally it will cost you. And I'm gonna tell you something else. It won't just cost you in eternity. It will cost you now. How many marriages have been broken? How many families have been destroyed? How many people have been addicted and broken down by some drug, alcohol, fetish, whatever? Right? It affects us. And then if we're in those forms of bondages in our soul and body, even though we're born again, how effective are we going to be at living a set-apart life and fulfilling the purpose that God put us on here, glorifying Him and doing the works that He created us to do in Christ Jesus? We're not going to be very effective, are we? And guess what? That's what we get judged for at the judgment seat of Christ, the works that we do. And so, this morning, I want to tell you that we have a reason to celebrate, because through the spiritual blessing of justification, you can live a victorious life over sin. You don't have to. You can stay free from it. You can live as the way God wanted you to. How many know that's a good blessing to have? Amen? All right. And so this week, as you head out, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. As the enemy seeks to come, as the opportunities present themselves, and we know they do, I want you to not let the enemy deceive you. All of us have felt the pull of sin, have we not? And all of us are prone to certain temptations. What you might be tempted by may not affect me in the least, and vice versa. But I want you to know that through the spiritual blessing of justification, you can say no to that thing. You have the ability, the power to walk away from it. You have that. But you have to begin to act upon the truth that you know and the understanding of who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? So when you're faced with the temptation of sin, I want to challenge you this week to say no. And if you struggle in your soul and your body, then you need to develop some trusting relationships with some people. People in a life group, accountability partners, I don't care what it is, to help you overcome that. You've already come in your spirit, but let me tell you, there's a battle that goes on in the mind and the emotions and the will and the flesh. Fight the battle. It's already been won in you. Take what's in you and tell that sin and the devil where to go. But don't sin when you do it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you this morning.